Nemoto presents Theater for Beginners, Heiner Müller, Fragmented Drama. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 16 minutes. East Berlin, 1961. The auditorium of the Volksbund Theater is packed to the rafters on a damp autumn night. A new play called Die Umsiedlerin, The Resettler Woman, is making its debut, and whispers have spread that this piece might be controversial. Behind the curtain, the playwright Heiner Müller paces, a slender 32-year-old with a mop of dark hair, chain-smoking even as he steels himself for what's to come. On stage, the final scene is reaching its peak. Actors portray peasants forced to relocate under a government program, their bitterness and confusion palpable. A stern party official character in the play extols the glorious future of collective farms, but his speech is undercut by the silent stare of a tired old woman cradling a suitcase, representing those left disillusioned. When the curtain falls, there's a beat of heavy silence. Then scattered applause. Some in the audience are moved. They recognize the truth in the play's portrayal of upheaval in their lives. Others remain quiet. In the second row, a cultural functionary in a gray suit leans over to his comrade and mutters, "This will never see another performance." Müller peeks out from the wings and senses the unease. His jaw tightens. By the next morning, the verdict from the authorities comes swiftly. Die Umsiedlerin is banned, shut down after that single performance. The young playwright has been branded a troublemaker. Heiner Müller exhales a stream of cigarette smoke and understands that an official shadow has fallen over him, one that will follow him for decades. Müller's journey to that charged moment began in a childhood marked by war and dictatorship. He was born in 1929, growing up in Saxony as the Nazis rose to power. At age 4, little Heiner watched men in brown uniforms haul his father away to a concentration camp for the crime of being a social democrat. The family survived the war and the bombings of Germany, but scars remained. In the new East Germany, young Müller saw hope in socialist ideals. Here was a society that promised to never again succumb to fascism, that aimed for equality and justice. As a teenager in the late 1940s, Müller eagerly joined the official youth organizations, and by his mid-20s he was writing propaganda poems and articles praising the workers' state. He never went to university, instead educating himself through voracious reading of literature and philosophy. He was particularly drawn to the plays of Bertolt Brecht, another German who used theater to challenge and provoke. Müller even applied to work with Brecht's Berliner Ensemble Theater, but was turned away, a disappointment that stung but did not deter him. In the 1950s, Müller found some success as a dutiful young playwright of the GDR, German Democratic Republic. He wrote a play about coal miners heroically increasing production, another about farmers learning the party line, pieces that towed the ideological line and earned him early praise from the state. But Heiner Müller's keen mind couldn't ignore the contradictions around him for long. He saw censorship at work, writers pressured to conform, history being selectively remembered. The more he learned of Stalin's purges and the realities behind the utopian slogans, the more his faith wavered. He remained a socialist at heart, but one with eyes open to his government's failings. And when he tried to inject a dose of reality or ambiguity into his work, such as in Die Umsiedlerin, which depicted the painful human cost of an agricultural reform, the state punished him swiftly. Being banned in 1961 was a turning point. Expelled from the Writers' Association, Müller suddenly was a writer in internal exile. He lived in East Berlin, but many of his plays would only be seen in the West. This forced semi-underground status had a profound effect on Müller's art. Unable to openly critique his society, he turned to metaphor, fragmentation, and history to express what couldn't be said directly. If he couldn't address East Germany's struggles head-on, he would channel them through past or foreign stories, broken into shards that audiences could piece together. In the late 1960s and 70s, while the GDR authorities kept him at arm's length, Müller became celebrated in avant-garde theater circles elsewhere. His plays premiered in West Germany, France, and beyond, often directed by progressive directors who saw in Müller an heir to Brecht but with a darker, more chaotic twist. One of Müller's most famous creations in this period was Hamlet Machine, 1977. Imagine a play that is only 10 pages long yet seems to contain the anguish of centuries. Hamlet Machine is less a linear drama than a poetic collage of scenes and monologues. In it, Shakespeare's Hamlet appears as a modern figure who declares, "I am not Hamlet. I don't play a role anymore," rejecting the very idea of being a hero in a story. The play careens through images of European despair. An actress playing Ophelia speaks as if she's all the women of history scorned and furious. Nuclear reactors and piled corpses haunt the background, and the text ends with an image of Hamlet in a sort of post-apocalyptic wasteland, bearing the weight of failed revolutions and dead ideals. When Hamlet Machine premiered, in Paris, because East Germany surely would not allow it then, it baffled some but electrified others. Here was the fragmentation of the 20th century caught in a theatrical fever dream. The play lasted only an hour or less, but in that time Muller managed to shatter and rebuild Hamlet, that emblem of indecision, into a modern cry of frustration. European audiences living in the late Cold War recognized the sense of entrapment in it, the divided Berlin, the thwarted hopes of the 1960s, the violence of history that keeps repeating. Hamlet Machine became a kind of cult piece for directors. Many attempted stagings, each grappling with its dense illusions and jagged structure. In one famous production years later, Robert Wilson, the visual theater artist from the previous episode, collaborated with Muller to stage Hamlet Machine as a series of striking images in an abandoned industrial building, merging Wilson's slow visuals with Muller's explosive text. It was a testament to Muller's growing international stature that artists around the world sought to interpret his cryptic, potent words. Meanwhile, within East Germany, Muller trod a fine line. By the late 1970s, the GDR leadership realized that Heiner Muller had become a globally respected writer, which ironically gave him a shield at home. They cautiously let him back into some level of favor, allowing him to work at theaters, though still wary of his pen. Muller, for his part, became adept at using doublespeak in interviews and symbolic nuance in his writing to critique oppression without inviting a direct ban. For instance, he wrote The Mission, Der Auftrag, 1979, ostensibly about a failed revolutionary attempt in the West Indies in the 1790s, but it resonated deeply as a commentary on modern revolutions betrayed by those in power. In The Mission, characters grapple with the ghost of lost causes and the weight of colonial and class struggle, reflecting Muller's own contemplation of whether the socialist mission had gone astray. The play's text was rich, poetic, but also fragmented into letters, monologues, and scenes that jump in time, a style now distinctly Mulleresque. Muller's work from this era earned him a reputation as the poet of the fragments. Unlike traditional plays that followed neat plots, his writing was like broken mirrors, reflecting reality in sharp, disjointed pieces. This style wasn't just an aesthetic choice, it was political and philosophical. Muller lived in a world shattered by World War II, divided by the Iron Curtain, disillusioned by failed utopias. How could a tidy Aristotelian drama capture that reality? Instead, he gave us ruins and remnants on stage, asking the audience to wander through them and find meaning. In one of his later plays, Quartet, 1982, he took the decadent aristocrats from the novel Dangerous Liaisons and placed them in a bunker after World War III. On a stage almost bare, two actors play a vicious game of seduction and betrayal, sometimes swapping roles or speaking as if the ghosts of all loveless relationships are speaking through them. A 15-minute wordless pantomime opens the play, like the ashes of civilization settling before the characters even speak. Quartet was another puzzle, haunting, cold, yet darkly witty at times. It showed Muller's range, not just a somber political playwright, he also reveled in gallows humor and the theatricality of human cruelty. Despite his often heavy themes, Muller possessed a certain ironic humor and charisma. By the 1980s, he was something of an elder statesman of the avant-garde, frequently sporting a black beret, with piercing eyes behind large glasses, and a wry half-smile as he spoke. After Brecht's widow died, Muller was even invited to help lead Brecht's famous theater, the Berliner Ensemble. The once-censored rebel was becoming an insider, albeit on his own terms. He continued to write, direct, and adapt works, engaging with classics like Shakespeare, his adaptation Anatomy Titus mixing Titus Andronicus with reflections on violence, and Greek tragedies, always filtering them through his fragmented, modern lens. Now, let us return to East Berlin, but a different night, November 4, 1989. A chill wind blows through Alexanderplatz, the central square of the city, where half a million East Germans have gathered in a massive, peaceful demonstration. The Berlin Wall still stands a few blocks away, but the cracks in the regime are beginning to show. The people are demanding reform, openness, freedom. On a hastily erected stage, various speakers address the sea of citizens. As night falls, Heiner Müller takes the microphone. He is 60 now. In the yellow glow of floodlights, he appears both weary and resolute. He knows the power of a moment. History is coiling itself to spring. The crowd quiets to hear the acclaimed playwright, one of their own, who has given voice to unspoken truths in coded form for so long. Müller's speech is brief and tinged with his trademark mixture of irony and hope. At one point he quotes lines from Brecht, "Change the world, it needs it." The crowd erupts in applause and laughter. Here is a call for change from the poet who had so vividly portrayed the stagnation and despair of their society. Müller also warns of the challenges to come, and he speaks of the role of artists in holding a mirror to power. His words lack the glossy optimism of politicians. Instead, they carry the weight of someone who has seen revolutions devour themselves. 5 days later, the Berlin Wall falls. The world that defined Müller's life splits open. In the ensuing years, Germany reunifies, the East German state dissolves, and everything Müller had known transforms overnight. For Heiner Müller, it's a bittersweet victory. Freedom of expression at last, but also the loss of a homeland, however flawed. He remains reflective. In interviews, he admits that the end of the GDR left him oddly empty, saying, "Suddenly there was no enemy. Whoever no longer has an enemy will meet him in the mirror." It's a cryptic remark, very much in line with the man who wrote Hamlet Machine, but one can sense the personal upheaval behind it. In the early 1990s, Müller becomes the director of the Berliner Ensemble, the theater Brecht founded, bringing things full circle between the two great dramatists of modern Germany. He stages his own works there at last, and also daring interpretations of classics. One of his final productions is a 7-hour staging of Hamlet, the full Shakespeare text in German, in which at the end of the play, after Fortinbras's army enters, Heiner Müller himself would sometimes walk on stage as if another ghost, reading a poem or quotation, adding a final metatheatrical coda. Audiences sit through his marathon Hamlet and, whether they grasp all his allusions or not, they feel they are witnessing a living legend break and rebuild a cornerstone of theater one more time. By the time of his death in 1995, Müller is globally revered. In the lobby of theaters from Tokyo to New York, you'll find posters of his gaunt, thoughtful face and quotes like, "In the end, we are all absorbed by the Hamlet machine," or "Each new text is a grenade I throw at reality." He left behind a body of work that is challenging, often mystifying, but undeniably powerful. Directors and scholars speak of post-dramatic theater and hold Müller up as a prime example. Drama that rejects neat plot and character development to instead assault the audience with ideas, images, and questions. Yet beyond the academic terms, what Müller gave to theater was something visceral. The experience of confronting broken realities on the stage and not looking away. He forced his audience to engage with fragments of stories, of ideologies, of human desires, and to recognize those fragments as our own. Life in the 20th century, especially in Germany, had been shattered by calamity and contradiction. Müller made theater from those shards. Imagine now one last scene. Berlin, a small rehearsal room, late 1980s. Heiner Müller sits at a table cluttered with cigarettes and annotated scripts. He's working with a group of young actors on a new piece. They're intimidated by him, his reputation, his intellect, but he puts them at ease with a dirty joke and a self-deprecating chuckle. They begin a fragment of text, a passage from Hamlet Machine where Ophelia declares war on the patriarchy, or maybe a scene from The Mission where idealists debate whether revolution can survive betrayal. The actors stumble through the lines, unsure. Müller stops them gently. He takes a long drag of his cigarette and says, "Don't play it. Just say it. And listen to the silence after." They try again, speaking the lines plainly. A hush follows. Müller closes his eyes as if feeling the resonance of the words in the air. He knows that in that silence, the real play begins, in the minds of the audience who will one day sit in the dark, digesting the words and images he has laid out like a trail of broken glass. Some will bleed, metaphorically. Some will walk away puzzled or angered, but none will forget the journey. As we leave Heiner Müller in that rehearsal room haze, consider how far he traveled, from a boy watching injustice drag his father away, to a young communist writing about coal mines, to a band writer channeling his fury into cryptic art, to an old sage challenging a new generation to rebuild meaning from the ruins. His life was as fragmented and paradoxical as his plays. And he recognized something crucial, that in fragmentation there is honesty. Our world is not neat, our stories don't always resolve, our ideals often betray us. Rather than paper over those cracks, Muller tore them open on stage and invited us to peer in, to see the void and perhaps our own reflection within it. In the shattered mirror of Heiner Muller's theater, audiences found a strange kind of clarity. His work continues to be staged, read, argued over. Each time Hamlet Machine is performed or the mission is discussed, we piece together anew what he might have been saying about power, history, and human folly. And each time, inevitably, we confront ourselves, our complicity in society's failures, our ongoing quest for meaning amid chaos. That was Muller's gift and challenge to us. To never be comfortable, to never accept the story as finished, because in the fractures lies the truth of our time.